Dunamis is where the gifts of the Spirit are operating. Now we know that when healing or working of miracles takes place, is one of the working of miracles or give of miracles. And here's a question. When people are casting out demons, we realize that it can be done through exousia authority. But let's leave that out for the time being. Outside of that, when people are casting out demons by the anointing of God, which gift of the Spirit is operating? Now, remember the nine gifts of the Spirit. And I repeat the nine gifts again. The revelation gifts is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. The power gifts is the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts, plural, of healings. And then the worker gifts are the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So they are the nine gifts. Which of the nine gifts are involved in casting out demons? All of them? Discernment, faith, healing, miracles, power, yeah, including everything. Okay, that's a very... to be saved, you include everything. Now, let me give you an example. When someone is raised from the dead, three of the gifts are operating. You need... See, when someone dies and there's a person is raised from the dead, three gifts are operating. First of all, the gifts of healing would have to work. Because if the person died of a certain sickness, and you raise a person up, and the person still had the sickness, he will die again. Obviously. So he has to be healed of whatever caused the death. So the gifts of healing have to operate. And because the cells are all dead, it needs resurrection life and creative miracles. That always takes the working of miracles to resurrect all the cells and organs and tissues. And then it takes the gift of faith to call back the spirit of the person into the body. So three gifts are operating when you raise a person from the dead. And that's why it's not so common. Although, as faith level rises, it can become common. Now, among the charismatic, you'll find that the gifts of healings are pretty common. And as they exercise those gifts. But when gifts work together, it's less common. Now, the primary gift of spiritual authority in the spirit realm is the gift of faith. Because just as the gift of faith can call a human spirit back from the dead into the physical body, so the gift of faith is involved primarily when one is exercising authority over spirits. Whether they be demon spirits, or in prayer, God anoints you to send forth, you know, a command from the Holy Spirit unto His angels. The gift of faith is operating. Of course, it is possible that if the demon came through, a physical ailment, like, for example, you found a deaf and dumb demon in Mark chapter 9. And the demons usually come through a crack in the psyche of a person, or it could be a physical crisis. And so they lodge themselves there, you will need some of the other gifts to close the door. So primarily that. And if that is so, the gift of faith is an instantaneous impartation that God gave to be able to do what needs to be done. But even the gift of faith needs faith. You still need to exercise it, says faith in what God has. Unbelief will nullify both exousia authority and dunamis authority. Unbelief is a terrible thing in the spirit world. And so you have Jesus imparting to the disciples both exousia and dunamis authority. And then you come back here to Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus says, when they asked him the question, why could we not cast out the demon? And then Jesus says, because of your unbelief, in verse 20, he says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. That's how important we still need faith. And verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. One of the laws of the anointing of God, which is the dunamis authority, is that it's always tied to prayer and fasting. One of the interesting incidences that Kenneth Hagin has in his biography, I believe in visions, where he records 8 visions of Jesus. In one of them, Jesus appeared to him and put his finger into the palms of his hand. And it felt like coals of fire on the palms of his hand. And then Jesus told him, now that is to dunamis authority. And then Jesus told him that whenever he put the palms of his hand on a person, if the fire on his hand jumped from one hand to the other, then he know that there's a demonic activity and he need to take authority and cast out the demon. Now that specific operation is called dunamis authority. And it's not exousia. Exousia, everyone can have. You don't need to feel anything. But under dunamis anointing, they have a particular law that operates it by itself. And then, if you read the book very carefully, there's one tiny little phrase Jesus said. Whenever the anointing wanes and weakens, fast and pray. You find that in that little book. Whenever that anointing weakens and wanes, fast and pray. Because when you fast and pray, you're putting your body and your flesh down, that your spirit can come forth. And we know we are spirit, soul, and body. Fasting has to do with the physical body. And when you put your physical body down, your spirit can arise from inside you. And that is why the dunamis authority can flow better out of your life. And that's why Jesus, when he's talking about dunamis authority over demons, he would recommend fasting and prayer. Because it strengthens the anointing in your life. And so it depends on Christians whether they're experienced in operating in both realms. Those who come from the Word of Faith background, they tend to understand the exousia authority a lot. But they tend not to understand the dunamis authority side. And those who come from normal Pentecostal background, who have always been like, feeling and the flow of the Spirit, they experience in the dunamis side, but they know nothing about the exousia side of authority. And we need to understand both. To flow in both to complete the authority that God has given us in the spiritual realm. The dunamis authority that flows forth has its own laws. And among those laws are laws of fasting and prayer in order to release the anointing that is already being imparted. Remember, in the dunamis, in the exousia authority is an instantaneous impartation of position when you're in Christ. In the dunamis authority, the impartations can come at different points in your life. And one of the things that God spoke to Kenneth Hagin was this, and he says, when he put his hands on his palm of his hands and says, from this day onward, you will operate in this manner of authority or gifting. You will put your hands and you will feel the fire in your hands moving. And then Jesus says that from now onwards, demons will recognize you. Do you notice that? Demons will recognize you because there is a different dimension of dunamis authority working. And it's important to see that it's also instantaneous. So at all times, we can have authority over demons through exousia authority. But in God's predestination and God's dispensation in our life cycles with Him, there are times where He imparts impart a gift into your life. And among those gifts that He can impart is the gift of faith, which carries with it an authority in the spiritual world. And sometimes when you fast and pray, that authority operates better. You know, one of the differences to the olden day ministers to the modern ones, modern ministers tend to spend very little time with God. A lot of them, even a lot of them who operate crusades and all this today, I know because I have been close with them. And so I was with Don Gossett, and he came over to our church. And then, because Don Gossett served under T.L. Osborne and some of the others way before T.L. Osborne's time. And so one of the things I said, is there a difference in how the people operate long ago before the word of faith came and after? He says, yes. He says the modern ministers used to just believe God by faith and that's it. And sometimes before a meeting, they will pray a little bit and then they go forth into the meeting. But he says long ago, in the early days of the 1950s, 1960s revival, when you have a lot of these people, this is pre-Catherine Kuhlman's time when they operate in the gifts, and their teaching was not that good, but their healing was powerful. You probably hear some of them. A. Allen, who sadly went off track. Mary Woodward Atter, Amy Semper McPherson, and some of these. Although some of their teachings were okay, but there were some older ones whose teaching was not that strong like the modern day teaching, but the amount of miracles was more. And so he says he worked under these ministers, and he said there's a difference. When they used to conduct those 10 revivals long ago, the minister, on the day of the revival, would hide himself in the prayer tent. And you would never see the man until at night when he comes out. That's how much time they spend with God. They travail with God. And then when they come out in the night healing crusades, they don't preach much. They just start getting the sick people. And they start ministering. And casting out deaf and dumb, healing, and all this. One by one, they would do straight away. And of course, when people see miracles, their faith grows. Very little teaching. But that's how they spend those early revivals. And then through time, as the revival progress, people take the attitude of the exousia authority. Well, it's already done. God has answered all things. God has given all things. How much difference does your prayer make? And so people depend on, quote unquote, the grace of God. And they spend less time in prayer. And I know because I've been with some of the, I wouldn't mention the name, but I've been with some of the top names that today are still doing healing crusades. I know how much time they spend before the meeting. Definitely not the whole day. But there are others whom I know, some from India, some evangelists from India, and some from other parts of the world, who do still spend 6-8 hours before the meeting with God, before they go out, and they carry that ram of anointing. But there was a vast difference. That was what Don Gossett said. And then Don Gossett says this: we have less miracles but more teaching. Long ago they had more miracles but less teaching. And I think somewhere along the line, we need to get both balance. I believe in the 21st century, we need to understand both principles and bring both together. We still have good teaching, but at the same time, we need to have strong signs and wonders still flowing forth. And so it's in that dimension of the dunamis anointing that is flowing that I believe Jesus says, this kind can come forth not but by fasting and prayer. Although that sentence can also be applied that there are different types of demons, some demons are more stubborn than others. It is true to a certain extent, but no matter how stubborn the demons are, it is just a matter of standing in faith, in exousia authority, or standing in faith in dunamis authority. And some people say, well, if it's dunamis, it will just flow whether you believe it or not. That's not true. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.